All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today.
We know the speaker works.
Yes, these headphones are working, Joe. The volume is excellent, brother.
Woo. Good to hear.
Need an audiologist after that one. If you could recommend a good one, let me know. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for tuning in with us today to The Good, The Bad, The Guilty. I have Sheriff Campbell with us today. Have Detective Sean Rowe also is one of our guests today. I'm Bill Hamby. Have the pleasure to be Chief Deputy here at the Sheriff's Office. If you want to call into the show, ask us any law enforcement related questions or anything to do with church security or site assessment security surveys, please give us a call at 844-788-3464 or 844-STUDIO-4. You can also watch us through a streaming video live at WSIC News app, also available on iOS and Google Play. So if you can't find WSIC, you're just not looking.
And us old school people. Facebook.
The Facebooks.
On the interwebs. People Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean, so, one day we'll tell you how rough we used to have it as patrol deputies and how y'all got it easy now, but we won't get into that subject.
Especially from New Jersey.
Get the Jersey thing.
Okay.
You just look like Jersey.
Sounds like Jersey. There's no way that's a Florida accent.
Fort Lauderdale.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could, give us a like on Facebook if you think Sean's voice sounds like he's from New Jersey. Just hit that like button and let us know how many people that accent.
And if you say use guys or whatever that is.
No clue, boss.
See, that was a test. I want to see if you knew. Okay.
All right. So, Sheriff.
Well, hold on. You got any press releases you need to finish? Any good ones that we have?
Just we can talk about a couple. We have arrests. We made some good arrests. And one of which kind of segues into our topic today, if I can get through all of them. Let me get back here to my stack here. You caught me unprepared. Talk about Alejandro Castanon, 40 years old, of 108 Sterling Terrace in Mooresville. We arrested him on Sunday, April the 14th. Apparently, he had gone into one of the churches down there. I believe it was Jehovah's Kingdom Hall of Jehovah. Sean, from what I remember, he is familiar to them.
He's a member of the church.
We have dealt with him before on various calls.
Some security stuff around him as well.
And basically, he was being disruptive in the church service, and the ushers in the church went to try to get him to stop his disruption and then to get out of the facility. He assaulted one of them significantly, from what I understand. Our deputies arrived, and he proceeded to refuse to be arrested, refuse to obey commands, and ended up fighting with a couple of our deputies. We were able to get him into custody and charge him with several different charges. Four counts of felony assault inflicting serious injury, two counts of misdemeanor resist obstruct and delay, misdemeanor assault, misdemeanor disorderly conduct. He was placed under $105,000 bond by Magistrate Nethkin. So he is still in the Iredell County Detention Center. So,
And what I think about that, they had been through the training. I mean, we have had some security issues down there before, so y'all had spoke to the church. Church was aware of some of the things. I guess that y'all had sort of helped them, some of the members, to be aware of if something like this happened.
Yes, sir. It was a couple of years ago. We went down there and did a site assessment for them and some additional training. They decided to let him back in the church from what it seems. And
yeah. So based upon... Always something. So based upon the training, they reacted as if they, you know, like we had taught them to. They tried to de-escalate the situation. They tried to get him out of the church and keep him from bothering other folks in the church service. And this training came about, Sheriff, is part of what we call our Church Shield class.
Yes.
which is one of the things that when you ran the first time in 2014, I believe part of your platform was we would have safe schools, safe churches, and safe places of work.
Absolutely.
So at the time, the North Carolina Sheriff's Association had kind of come out with some training, and when you became sheriff, you were aware of it, and you told us to take the training and add to it and ramp it up and get the information out to the churches.
Well, I think Sheriff Association, you know, we talk about, first of all, we're talking about the North Carolina Sheriff Association. When you get these things mailed, you know, to join and be a part of it, I'd encourage you to do that. mm-hmm. because they provide so much training for us that we're not yeah. responsible for. So, absolutely. Yes, to answer the question, they basically had a church shield type, I don't think it was actually called that,
right.
but church training thing that we was able to build off of and tailor fit to our communities. Mm-hmm. And it has been a huge, huge success, even not just the churches and the site surveys, but also breaking down to pushing in the active shooter situation in that, so as we've done. So, yes, absolutely. And not only that, they do a lot of the firearms laws, the misdemeanor confinement program for us. They mm-hmm. do a lot of the
statewide disaster relief.
Yeah, and our Faith Watch was sort of spun off that with mm-hmm. the pastors and make sure we communicate stuff to our churches where they get out to their membership and their security teams.
Absolutely. In fact, I remember, Sean, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I remember sitting in his office, and he's like, guys, it doesn't do us a bit of good as an agency to have this information if we can't get it out to our communities. So I was able to kind of pick the program up from Randy Cass, who's yep. one of our retired investigators who kind of took the program up and ran with it. I tweaked it a good bit, and I was able to give several hundred presentations of this class. And then you and Heather picked up the mantle, and y'all have done great things with it, kind of redesigned it, the format, and now it's able to be given out in a good, timely manner to our churches here in Otter County.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time doing a lot of research and training, reading some additional books by some key members of the church security community. We get the training out, and it's about an hour, depending on the security team that we're talking to and the questions. It's very open format. We like to have more of a conversation than just standing in front of a screen and talking yeah. at them. Yeah. We really provide them a guide on how to set up the security team for their church. Mm-hmm. Some of the big churches are very different from the smaller churches and how they want to proceed.
Yeah. Well, one of the neat things, and I remember, Sheriff, I know you came to many of the presentations I was able to give, and it's really neat that you can take the same concepts that we teach. Oh, we have.
There you go. Get them on the line.
Caller. Joe, you said we had a caller. All right. Hello, caller. Can you have a question for us?
Hi, yes. This is Annie Dance with AnnieDance.substack.com is my Cops in Congress newsletter. I called last week, and I understand my question may be best suited for the sheriff. With Josh Stein announced that the rape testing kit backlog is, quote, over. However, public information on their website shows that it's currently still being tested as of November 2022. I'm curious on your comments. Do you really, and thoughts on it? Do you really think that it's over?
I couldn't hear exactly what she was talking about. I dropped out.
Ma'am, I believe you said that the sexual assault kit testing backlog?
Correct. Sorry, if my connection's a little choppy there. Yes, do you believe that Josh Stein's comments stating that it's over is accurate, because public information shows otherwise?
I have not read or looked at the public information. I mean, I assume anybody, until they prove me wrong, I'll take them at their face value. So I do know that they've been working on the sexual assault kit backlog for years now. Mm-hmm. I sure hope for all the victims, if they publicly come out and said that they're caught up, and there will be more because they're still going to process, but if they truly have caught them up for those victims, I hope it'll help lead a lot of successful prosecutions, and it'll be a lot of bad guys that's been skating along that'll be taken off the street with it. So I have no reason to doubt it, but I've not seen the evidence that you may
their
have.
Their website states that it's currently being worked on of November 22, that there's still testing being done that shows on the DOJ's own website. So that's part of my reasoning for bringing that up. But that's helpful.
I think that's a valid point. They've got to get them done. They've been working for years saying they're going to get this backlog. A lot of people's campaigned on that. There's been a lot of money put there to have the funding to work these backlogs. So they need to be completed and help for some successful prosecution for our district attorneys and get some closure for these victims.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you for calling in. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you, caller. So, Sean, you were talking about reading the books and getting the things out. And, Sheriff, you were talking about the way that, that we were able to get this information out. And basically the concept is, in one of the examples that I like to use, Sean, I don't know if you guys do use it or not, but you have a baseball glove, you have a welder's glove, you have a golf glove. You know, they're different kinds of gloves, but the number one mission of that glove is to protect the hand. So what works at First Baptist Statesville may not work in, you know, small Methodist church in Love Valley, may not work in large church in Mooresville. You know, you have to be able to tailor it to your budget. You have to be able to tailor it to what the leadership of the church wants. You know, so you kind of have to tailor it. But the way you guys teach it now, whether you have a $1,000 budget or a $5 budget, you can still put some of the concepts into play.
Absolutely. We go over all of that, and we specify that your budget is going to dictate what you want to do. Mm-hmm. We use communication. Some churches have a big budget and everybody's got a radio and an earpiece and right, all kinds of stuff versus, hey, we're just going to text back and forth because we don't have enough money, mm-hmm, to do anything like that. So we tailor it to your church and what your leadership wants.
And the capability. Right. So if somebody was listening and said, you know, I wonder, should I do that for my church? Or maybe we're too small, or we already know that far as the latest. Of course, I know y'all get the latest statistical threats and things that's happened. Why should we call and ask you to come do a threat assessment for our church?
Because you can always be better. We can always help you. If you already have a security team, we can help increase its capabilities. If you don't have a security team, we can help you get started.
And it's free. That's the main thing.
And you
thing.
Receive some, if something was to happen, yes, you receive some training free of charge. We don't do anything.
Absolutely.
I think, Bill, I think as far as the threat, we've done over 400. I know it was unbelievable amount of church congregations we've done.
Yeah, well, I know before I gave it up, we were well over 500 churches representing over 400 classes given.
We're averaging two a week right now.
Nice. Two a week. All right, we'll be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll finish up our program.
More of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Now more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in or staying tuned in to The Good, the Bad, the Guilty today here on WSIC. Got Sheriff Darren Campbell and Detective Sean Rowe with me. If you have any questions about the topic we're talking about today or any other law enforcement related questions, please give us a call 844-788-3464. Or 844-STUDIO-4. Of course, we're streaming live on Facebook. You can stream live on the WSIC News app. And we are available on iOS and Google Play and X. Right, Joe?
You're everywhere.
I see. You was in there sleeping. I got you. You was awake now.
I was making sure you were on
Justin,
the air.
Just for the record, he was back here snoozing, Sheriff.
And you know what? We noticed Justin has not. He must not be a
he must not
faithful
be calling
fan
in.
He of must the good, the bad,
I, he
the
must not be. I don't know. I thought we were tight like that. I don't know.
Oh, we was, too. We had to renegotiate our contract.
Yeah, there you go.
Never mind. We're not going to renegotiate. Joe, don't tell him we said that.
Edit that. Edit
we're
that
good,
out,
we're
Joe.
Good with all our right, contract.
I can cut that. Don't worry.
All right. So before we left, we were just getting into, and Sean, you brought up a great thing. And Sheriff, you asked him a great question. He answered it great. About crime statistics dealing with houses of worship. Okay, and I know that we call it Church Shield. This is for any religious organization in Iredell County.
Absolutely.
Okay? In any house of worship. So you had some stats, or you provided us with some stats here. So why don't you inform our listeners as to kind of what we have here.
So in between 2012 and 2022, there was 59 attacks at places of worship, which resulted in 79 deaths and 83 injuries just here in the United States. And violent crime or violent attacks tripled between 2018 and 2019.
Wow. Sheriff, do you remember a time when we were growing up, when we were younger, that no one would have ever thought about touching a church or doing anything at a church or to a church member?
Oh, you better. Yeah. In church, no.
Yeah.
Everything was safe. That was a safe place to go. And still, I feel overwhelmingly it is safe here.
I agree totally.
But we do have isolating issues and threats and things, you know, just like I said, we want say the church, but, you know, just a robbery of a person that was at affiliated with the church.
Yes.
But that was the purpose of it.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we've always, and we've had things with the city. I know at daycares, because you got to remember, there's a lot of daycares at churches too.
And you've got, and without going into to naming, but we have had groups here in Iredell County as of late. Normally it's three or four people. And I know that they've gone to now at least, what, four churches, Sheriff?
Four or five.
Right. Four or five. There's two different incidents on two different dates where these groups had gone in. Now, they've gone in with an agenda. And where they were either asked to leave or were recognized, and the church security that we trained basically approached them and said, no, we're not having that today here at our church.
And they knew to call us.
Yep.
They knew that.
They knew to call the sheriff's office. This group has left, so we have that. And then, you know, as we just said in our press releases, where we had the gentleman involved with an assault down in Mooresville area. So, one of the things, Sheriff, and I know that you and I have had many a conversation about this, and it seems to be the focus of the attack, whether it's the violent incident to a person at the church or wanting to use an attack on the church to push another agenda. And I know that you and I have had many a conversation about Dylan Ruth with the attack down in Charleston. Sean, I know you and I have had conversations, and he used an attack and murders of individuals at a church in Charleston to try to push his political agenda of starting a race war. So basically, for those of you that may not be familiar with Dylan Ruth, a white male asks to come into a African-American church in Charleston for a Bible study.
Yeah.
Fortunately, this church had a security camera. They're one of the things we talk about.
We always recommend cameras.
And happened to catch him going in, and he went into a Bible study with these folks, actually sat down and studied God's Word. And about 45 minutes later, pulls out a 45 caliber Glock and murders several individuals and then gets away. And ironically enough, was stopped in Shelby, North Carolina, where he was taken into custody at before he was extradited back to South Carolina. But he could have just as easily picked our town. He just could as easily picked Davidson or, you know, Statesville, Charlotte, anywhere to do these crimes. So one of the things we have to be prepared is just be prepared and be vigilant. And Sean, one of the things that you focus on is we talk about the four main areas: threats of mass violence and actions of mass violence, general crime. And Sheriff, you talk about this constantly about commodities crimes. When you talk about the economy going down, how churches can be soft targets for air conditioners and heat pumps and catalytic converters on church vehicles. You've talked about that many times. Medical reasons why you should have your team first aid trained. And then some other reasons behind crime. So, Sean, if you could take a minute, or Sheriff, you could jump in with him, because I know you guys talk a lot. And maybe touch base on those areas.
Well, I was going to say one thing we missed, and a lot of it, or can be, is you never know what goes on behind closed doors with people in your church. Domestic
violence is a huge one. That was a Texas Southern Texas shooting.
Absolutely. And end up, how many did he kill? He killed a pile.
17? Was it 17?
I think it was 20 more, something.
Yeah, it was like 26.
Okay. Yeah.
Heather did a whole case study on that.
And see, then you end up having murders at homes, and then they go to church because the church is such a rallying point for everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about that on child custody issues.
Yes, sir.
Things that in church you never know. But domestic violence and what goes on behind closed doors is a big indicator. Or at least I don't guess an indicator, but a cause of this.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of indicators there that you may or may not see.
Yes, sir. And we covered that during the class. We covered all the reasons why people commit these acts, and domestic violence is in there, and we talk about it. And we make some recommendations to the security team and to the pastor about how they can make sure they're in touch with their congregant.
One of the, and I know you.
I know what you're going to go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
One of the things that we do bring up, because, you know, Sheriff, you bring up a great point. A lot of our pastors do pastoral counseling at the church.
They do,
and you know, they do marriage counseling. They do dating relationship counseling. They do child counseling, all sorts of things as part of their duties as pastor. And you know, if you make somebody mad, like say you have a couple, you brought up domestic violence, and one of those members or one of the two in that couple is the problem, and the pastor has to, you know, kind of maybe say, hey, brother, you know, you got to go, or you got to stop doing what you're doing. Now that person is not they're still mad at their spouse, maybe, but now they're mad at the pastor. And one of the things that we talk about, Sheriff, and I know one of the ones that you always like to point out was Pastor Parkin. Put a sign.
That's exactly Parkin. Where you're at.
Same yeah, and so it's little things like that, that until you look at acts of violence or trying to prevent violence through the eyes of law enforcement, you would never think, and I know, Sean, you've had some great comments about folks going, oh, I never thought of that.
We just did one last week where we were like, it was the pastor and the pastor's wife had a parking spot. And we recommended where they take those signs down. For somebody that's going to try to come and do violence, you don't want to know who the leader of the church is,
mm-hmm.
or their family, if they're going to be the target.
Well, I think routine has to change. Even at the office, you know, they put signs, and every time I turn around, there's signs somewhere. But you got to change your routine. Your schedule can't be the same.
Right. And I maybe think change the vehicles.
And we've learned a lot of that just from
officer safety
mm-hmm. training through the years. But we try to pass that along to our churches that may or may not think about it. One of the things we think about is, Bill and I, we've demonstrated, and Sean, I'm sure y'all have too, is when you're shaking somebody's hand, you're meeting them, you bro hug them, you're putting your arm on, reaching. It's not just because we like huggy. It's because
you can pat somebody down if you know what you're doing without them even knowing that you're doing it.
Body armor is becoming more and more prevalent in these events as well. So if you're shaking somebody's hand, tap them on the back.
Right.
An officer knows, hey, listen, we do that all the time at the office ourselves. So we know exactly what body armor feels like. But you're right. You can be, you know, you can almost search a person just by being up close and seeing. And that's
we demonstrated on a couple pastors one time.
Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
You got to know what's coming to church, and you hate that we're to that point, but I mean, I'm glad that y'all, or you and Heather, and everybody that's done the teaching, has really took the this was a small thing from the Sheriff's Association and built,
yes, sir,
to now be such high demand. And I wish other agencies would help do some of it, but I don't. Right now, we're doing everybody, even some recommended out of county.
Yeah, I know that we have had requests from out of county agencies, and of course, on those, we've never denied them. You've always talked to the sheriff and asked mm-hmm. if we could come over and make them aware we were coming. And I know I've gone to Rowan County a couple times, went to Alexander County one time. So we will travel. So if listeners, if you are in the periphery of Iredell County and this is something of importance to you or your house of worship, please give us a call at the sheriff's office, and we'll make arrangements to hopefully make it happen for you. But we'll be back in about 30 seconds. So if you want to call us, 844-788-3464, we'll be back.
I've never seen the likes far as he's from New Jersey or whatever.
Yeah. Are you from
New
Jersey?
But we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Check those likes.
More of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell is coming up on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Almostly cloudy as we head through the rest of our Wednesday evening, and temperatures will stay mild overnight, only dipping down into the mid-60s. For our Thursday, we're bringing more sunshine back into the picture. Could be
getting in. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what would really have a good show is I brought Gary McFadden up here.
I think Gary would love it. I think he'd be a great show. I really do. Have to play nice.
Oh, no, we get along fine. I don't know about callers.
Yeah, you would have to not take callers that show.
You can do that.
Some of our good.
And I'd like to bring Hive Patrol in one day. Bring Daniel and them in. We need to really get on
the
schedule.
The problem with them is, though, they have to run that through their PA.
They probably do, but I think we can probably get it. But we need to I'm going to start getting you to do more of a schedule. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm talking about we need to set out programs. Because a lot of times, what we're going to do this weekend is good. It's a good conversation. We can make the show. But, hey, maybe we'll get the DEA, the SAC, the SBI, HSI.
That's your horsepower, brother. I'll make the schedule if you get it.
Let's get it and give me some suggestions. We'll make the call.
Well, I think one that was – and here again, I think one that would be timely is get wildlife to come in. Talk about turkey season. Talk about hunting.
I don't mind bringing them in.
Talk about hunting. Talk about the lake. Talk about their outreach programs, hunter safety classes. I mean, dude, I think that'd be great. That'd be a timely, very timely. But there again, if it's like probation, they can't say nothing. They got to go through their PI.
I think you can give them, I mean, it's like patrol. They can talk. Well, I mean, we would stay on certain topics, you know, wildlife force, things like that. But
But yeah, I think Daniel would be great. I think wildlife would be great. I think y'all to get Bob Schirmer to come in. Not because of that other stuff.
And I've had Bob before. I don't even know.
Not
that's,
here.
Listen, though. That was just a suggestion.
But you've not had Bob here, though. You had Bob at...
That's right.
Eddie was there.
He's a lot easier. He's in Polk County now, so it makes it a little harder.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is people of that ilk that you could reach out to. I think...
Fielding a lot of gun questions.
I think it would be... I think it would be...
On schools? Churches? That's a good thing. Well, you know the law changed. Do what, Joe?
1 minute.
1 minute.
All right, what do we want to talk about?
Well, one thing, you're right. The laws on that... Do you know House Bill that changed that? Where you can carry a concealed weapon as long as it's not during school hours and things.
Is it in here?
Yeah, but it's not for a public school. So if you're going to talk about it.
If you can find it, use it.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
I tell
you. Need some tissues?
Pollen, buddy.
Real men don't use no tissues.
They use their sleeve, Joe.
Or paper towels.
Sleeves and drugs.
Yeah,
sleeves or better and yet, that's what we need. Or we use, real men use shop towels.
Okay.
Here, you want to bring us
that's
in?
That's fine. Who's bringing us back?
I did. We the might just play by ear.
Right. Boss man's going to bring us in.
Here we go.
Amazing local deals. Start. Download the WSIC News app today. Call now to speak with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell at 844-STUDIO-4. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Great, great music, Joe. We appreciate it. Welcome back. I believe this is the last segment today for the Good, Bad, and the Guilty. This is it.
Where's this hour gone? Golly.
I'm telling you, hey, and listen, we were sitting there talking off air, and obviously, you still give us a call at 844-788-3464. Facebook, you can comment. But we're sitting here talking about ideas for future shows.
Yes.
Who we'd like to see bring on or who would like to be in here. And we thought of several people. But, you know, we get a lot of things. We can talk about the office and our threat assessment. We can talk about fraud and crimes and press releases. But some good things that the community would really like to hear from us. We got a lot of ideas, but who would you like? Put them in the comments. Shoot us an email.
Absolutely. Email us. Call the radio station. Hit us up on Facebook. Yeah.
Because there's so much things right now, Sean. Y'all see, especially, you know, Bill and I, we've talked about D.C., the things we're seeing from overseas, our southern border, how it impacts really our churches and if there was going to be a terrorist attack and things like that. And it's sad we've had to incorporate that into y'all's training. But we've seen it firsthand in D.C. that those are the kind of people that are here. So, if people has a good idea, you know, we suggest a lot of names that we could sidebar conversations. But anyway, for our last little bit, Shauna, believe there was some, and just to let you know, your detective partner texted me and said she thinks she'll be able to survive without her. Or you're doing fine.
I tell her I said thanks.
I think she probably heard you. He ain't gonna say nothing. But either way, some law changes or wherever you was at, just to wrap up, I mean, and some of the stuff you have there in front of you to make sure we get out the public.
Yeah, so one of the laws that changed this year is General Statute 14269.2, which allows you to carry your gun, your firearms in churches if it's also a school, as long as there's no school functions pretty much going on.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't apply to a public school that holds church, like has a church in their gym or their cafeteria on the weekends. It has to be the actual church.
Correct.
That holds a school.
Correct. And Sheriff, I know you were very instrumental in that. I remember when this came up with one of our local churches here in Statesville, when security, it was you and Miss Rena Turner.
It was Rena Turner and we
worked, Senator Sawyer.
Senator Sawyer, but the big one I've got, he carried the flag and that was Jeff McNeely. He took it.
He did.
And Representative McNeely, and I think his show's 11 o'clock on Mondays here, so tune in for that. But you know, we had that, and I think the governor vetoed it two different times before finally was able to override, or part of it was override the governor's veto, which come along with also other things that we had added on, which
absolutely
our senator, Vicky and Mitchell and Gray and all them help was now in law enforcement, so the county buildings can carry concealed weapons, okay? But law enforcement never could. So,
I know. Imagine that, right?
So the girls up front, some of the ones that does our Mooresville office, at sometimes there may be not an officer in our Mooresville, so we work for legislation to allow them with consent. A police department can do it, but now if they want their civilian employees with a valid concealed carry, can actually carry in a law enforcement facility now. They should have that right, and they do have that right.
Should be a no-brainer.
It's their Second Amendment, same as it is everybody else.
Absolutely.
And so we really pushed, got that. So hats off to our legislators. I know typical. We hear most of the time hear bad stuff, but we've got some good ones here that help us.
No, and when it was brought forward and the loophole in the law was kind of revealed itself, I guess you could say, because of this, the way that this one particular church interacted with the school and mm-hmm. its church. Mm-hmm. You guys jumped on it, and I know the Sheriff's Association did a lot of research in it. You did a lot of research in it. You know, as you said, all of our representatives, and it seemed like it was a great idea, and then it kind of got stuck.
Well, my thinking is like, and legislators and most people, and everybody I've talked to here, if you're in church, you have the right to protect yourself no matter where you're at. Should you have to have that precaution or that protection? No.
But times I promise have changed.
But a bad guy's not going to worry about it.
No.
Right?
No.
And you've heard me say it, and I'll probably get in trouble for it, but how you stop a bad guy with a gun? It's a good guy with a gun.
Or guys or gals.
Guys or gals. That's absolutely right. And it showed, you know, the Texas shooting, some of those we've seen, the congregation, those are trained security teams that were able to take out an assailant that come into, and I cannot remember if it was a domestic issue.
It was.
But Southern Springs was a domestic issue. Yep.
And he was able to kill the perpetrator before he killed anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the train and the way the evacuations, you know, there again, it comes back to it. And I know you're going to say it, and I'll hush, but what are you going to do with your people maybe in a wheelchair? What are you going to do with your kids in the church? What if the little old lady that sat there for 114 years is not going to move till church is over?
No, we cover that in the class as well. So,
yep.
Setting up safety zones for your people,
there you go.
Evacuating them or locking down if necessary. It all just depends on how your church is set up and what the incident is.
And one of the things, Sheriff, that I know that we specifically took from law enforcement training and put in the Church Shield class was officer presence or high visibility at the church. And I don't know who started this concept, but it just works so seamlessly with what churches are doing, and you can integrate it into church security, is your welcoming teams, mm-hmm. your parking teams.
Absolutely.
Out in the parking lot, bright yellow vest, bright orange vest, or at least being seen.
Well, we know presence is a number one deterrent.
Presence is a number one deterrent.
And it's Sean, we've talked about this before, and our patrol guys, can't send enough off to our patrol guys on Sunday. Every Sunday, they know most of the morning, mid-morning, what they're going to be doing.
If they're not on the call, they better be the church.
Security checks at churches.
And how many people come and say they see the deputies ride through? And, you know, we mm-hmm. don't have – oh, knock on some wood. But we don't have the car break-ins, and we don't have the people hanging around church because the presence is there. And what they're not, the security teams have learned to take over.
Absolutely. And that's key, is having someone outside the church or having some sort of visibility outside the church. And, Sean, you brought up a key point. Even for a church with the smallest, most minuscule budget, you can still get little bitty radios. Obviously, our security team at my church, and I won't use the name of the brand, but when they brought these little bitty radios, and I'm like, there's no way that'll work. And they're the best little 16-channel radio. Mm-hmm. Get that in a little earpiece for like $30 so that someone outside the church, if they see a threat, can talk to someone inside the church, and you can start lockdown procedures or hardening procedures to make sure people inside your church are safe and keep that threat outside the building.
That's the biggest thing, is we want to keep people out, right? Like,
right.
If they're coming in to do harm, let's have that fight outside, not inside where there's
right.
all the people.
Yep.
Well, and there's a lot of questions. You know, you'd be amazed when you go now, everybody has cell phones, but if you was to call 911, we do phase three or we do triangulation, mm-hmm. so we can pin it down, but at our church, I was telling them, how many of you just don't have the address near a phone?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know the actual physical address? Tell somebody to get here without ECOM having to triangulate it and track down the best point available.
And here again, and I've shown, and here again, I'm stealing your thunder, I know, but I get excited about this class because I enjoyed teaching it. But one of the things that we stress is if the church has the capability of having a hardline old school phone where you can dial 911 and just leave the phone off the receiver. One, it lets us know that address because the ECOM has those capabilities. And two, it's a passive listening device. So those of us that are responding can get information from that phone off the hook to give us, is it more than one assailant? You know, are they using names?
You know, today you have to be over 35 to know how to use one of those.
Joe, do you know how to use a rotary phone?
I do.
Okay, just checking.
Do you believe me?
I'm impressed.
I'd like to see you do it.
If my kids had to wait to take the 9 or the 8 and turn it and let it spin all the way back around, they'd have a fit.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have a fit.
Yeah.
You can also text 911 too. So if you're in an incident where
yes,
you can't get on the phone, texting they'll respond back just like they were on the phone with you.
And here again, some of the churches that are on the close to the borders of Iredell County, just because you dial 911 may not be the Iredell Comm Center. It might be Alexander County. It might be right. Rowan County, maybe Mecklenburg County.
Right.
So, Sheriff, to your point, you need to know the physical address of your facility.
It'll save time.
Yeah, it just saves time instead of having, as you say, we can triangulate and they'll transfer the call, of course. But it just saves time if you know that address.
Little things, little points to it. Is I'm sure y'all won't draw into the facility, sort of where things at to put somewhere where we know, just like we do it to schools.
Yes.
But I got a question.
Yes,
now,
sir.
This is something I'm probably either going to get in trouble or we're not going to try it. You're talking about texting 911, correct?
Uh-huh.
Could you FaceTime 911 if a communicator wanted to see what the situation was there and monitor it?
I have no idea. I don't.
Should we try it?
I don't know. I would almost do it. But I'm scared to tell ecom without because
yeah, no,
tele-
you, no. This would definitely be some one for all the thousands of people that are going to try to FaceTime ecom. Please don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't do that.
National Telecommunicator Week.
Telecommunicator Week.
But it's a good. I mean, think about it.
It's a good thing. It's a good question to ask.
Because there is technology out there now. There's even drone. Not that we use it, but you can actually call, and it's out there where you can call a communication law enforcement, and they can actually send a drone to monitor the situation when officers get there.
Oh, I just read about that.
There he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what all kind of legal and property protections and stuff that is. It's just like body cameras. But, you know, think about it. You could FaceTime, turn your camera around, set the phone up, and monitor the whole situation, have it relayed to responding officers.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great
idea. Sort of what we've got with the schools now with, you know, we do.
To me. Yeah, we can get in on to the school security cameras.
Which a lot of people don't. I mean, we advocate. And Bill, you was down there in Raleigh. We was one of the only ones in the state that had the ballistic shields, the SROs, the cameras to respond to our schools. I mean, we're way advanced on that. So,
yeah.
Sean, we haven't got about 2 minutes. So, when's your
next class?
Your contact information.
We have our next class tomorrow night, and we've got some other ones coming up in the next few weeks. But if you want a church shield class, just let us know. Contact the sheriff's office. Detective Sean Rowe, I'll get it scheduled for you.
Or Heather.
Or anybody can get a hold of
her. She's off today, so.
Yeah, or Sheriff Campbell.
Any of
us will be glad to sit you up a class.
It is a cool thing. It's really mushroomed into what we're doing, and that goes into the active shooter and the school safety and the threat. I mean, everybody.
We teach active shooter classes to churches, too, so.
And I know our time's, we got 30 seconds, but in closing, the way we teach these classes, they just kind of seamlessly run together. Active shooter, church security, and to have a good site security.
They don't end on
security.
Time, but that's not our fault.
And to have a good site security assessment, man, it just makes those churches and those houses of worship so much safer.
Well, the hour has gone. Sean, appreciate you being here.
Yes, sir.
We will be back next week.
Good Lord willing.
3 p.m. Wednesday, and everybody have a good rest of their week.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.